Margot, is Philip here? Yes, okay.
I'm Philip Yenewin, and my first acquaintance with Bill Hull was at the age of 14 when I was literally following my mother, which was not an easy task, those of you who know me, into Crocker's Crockery, trailed by my three younger brothers, the youngest of whom was seven. And there was a very distinguished gentleman, we had just moved to Syracuse, and there was a very distinguished gentleman at the back of the store whose look... Now, you've heard, of course, that Bill was very good at communicating his feelings about things and people, but it wasn't about effusiveness. It was about very small looks. But I could tell from the back of the store that this man was horrified. Here was something, the worst possible sort of thing for a person who has had the store full of beautiful things. but when he saw that we were actually probably not going to wreak havoc, but that in fact we're kind of interested, sort of. I remember standing at his side, looking at some piece of something or other that my mother was thinking bought, I suppose, for someone's wedding. But the way he handled it, the delicacy with which he did it, it was sort of, he was teaching me how to hold an object, not just to keep it safe, not just in appreciation of its fragility, but in order to appreciate it. And that's the quality that sort of spoke most to me over the years of knowing Bill from then on. And it was, I don't have the long line of acquaintance that you had with him, John, but it was sort of interesting. But you know, you mentioned of Aspect. Bill was incredible, and he did produce these beautiful things. And the fact is that sort of it did stick with you. And I remember the first time I tried making Aspect for the guests who were coming for dinner, I tried Madeleine, and so I made the Madeleine, and it hardened just like it was supposed to, kind of thing. And then I cut it into sort of cubes, as you're supposed to do, and put it into the dishes and sort of proudly brought it to the table. And one of my guests said, "Huh, I've never had Jell-O at the beginning of the meal before." Something I suspect never was said at Bill's table. But in any case, sort of years later, when I worked for him, as others here, well, at least one other did, another Lucille Rhodes did, we were able to accompany Bill on his various adventures around New York State as the assistant associate director of the New York State Arts Council. He was a mentor. He was the most remarkable kind of mentor, because it was seldom, as John pointed out, sort of, or no, it was Barbara sort of said with her son, it was more questions than it was anything he would ever sort of say. But watching him look at a building was to learn what architectural appreciation. It was sort of, you realize that things like the materials, like the craftsmanship, like the positioning, like the scale, like the detailing, were things that sort of his eyes would just continue to sort of examine, and he would light on something, and you followed him. Your eyes went where his did. And it was the most incredible kind of education a young person could sort of have. I can so appreciate how your Ian must have enjoyed this, because he could tell you stuff. He knew lots, I mean, knew everything. But it was the kind of thing where, with a piece of pottery, that where you stood with him as he held it, and as it became real to you through him, and then of course you had he would hand it off to you, kind of thing. You knew what connoisseurship was. And it's a very interesting thing. Sort of, I had done a little bit of academic art history at Princeton University and really hated it. I thought, you know, sort of, wow, this is not how you want it. But when I was with Bill, all of a sudden I realized what I wanted to be when I grew up. And that was, I didn't know exactly the job, but I do know it had to have something to do with art. And with that business of being able to look at it and think about what it is telling you. Not just with your eyes, of course, but with your hands. The way that the curators at the Metropolitan Museum, when I first went to work there, sort of knew their stuff. It wasn't from book learning. They weren't academic art historians, as most museum curators are these days. They were people who had been archaeologists or collectors of this stuff that they ended up collecting and giving to the museum and taking care of. And this is the way Bill was, sort of someone who came to objects not with litanies of facts and histories, not with academic papers and footnotes and things like that, but with this appreciation that when you are in the presence of some wonderful thing and you exercise your options, your eyes in your looking, your fingers in your touching, if you can, but when you put together the ideas that you encounter with the intangibles that have more to do with intuition or perhaps sort of the kind of qualities that we probably call emotion, it's sort of when these things, the your ideas and your emotions sort of meet, that you feed your spirit. And I think this is why art and religions have had such a long time relationship, and it's certainly why what Bill taught me was that it was in this communion with things, not the knowing about them, but the connecting with them, that could allow you the moment out of where you were. And I think maybe John said something about this world we live in. If there were just a little bit more of this, if Bill had reached a few more lives, if more of us knew the pleasure of stopping on a country road and looking at an old building, a church building, a farmhouse, and thinking about how that pattern of windows is perfect, we'd have a better world. Thank you, Bill.